Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in Dot Zack Building in the Grand Center area, right here in St. Louis, Missouri. New records in every Friday, so come by, check it out, and pick up some new music. They have a great local selection, as well as all your favorite national acts. And check it all out. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're always giving away records and different things, and tickets and shows. And so follow along. It pays to support. Also, this year, Music Record Shop is the official record store of Lou Fest. So check it out. If you're over at Lou Fest this year, be sure to visit and say hey and pick up some new records from all your favorite Lou Fest artists. Again, everything at musicrecordshop.com. Check it out. Very excited to welcome Dynamic Screen Printing to the show. These guys have been just crushing it lately. They've been making shirts for all your favorites around town, including the brand new Rock Paper Podcast shirt. So I'm a proud customer. These guys have become great friends of mine, and I'm super happy that they're a part of this show now. This is very exciting stuff. So check out Dynamic Screen Printing on Facebook. Feel free to email them any of your ideas at dynamicscreenprintingstl@gmail.com. And if you mention the show, 10% off your first order. So that's very exciting, very cool stuff. And get involved. Like I said, they're doing really great stuff. If you thinking about making some shirts for your band or next event or whatever it might be, whatever you need screen printed, feel free to reach out to Dynamic Screen Printing. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Matt.
This is Rock.
This is Brian.
Hey, and this is Scott with Modern Day Zero. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Bitches.
Love it.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Speak to you when you act insane.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the guys of Modern Day Zero. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, everybody's so excited.
I gotta tell you though, that feels good to say that, because like, this is very exciting for me. It's kind of been a long time in the coming. I mean, I've been a big fan for a long time, and this is very exciting that...
I told you there was one.
Yeah.
I knew he was out there, man.
And there was much celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
But, I guess before we get going too far, you guys want to go around the mic and introduce yourself so everybody knows your voices?
Sure. I'm Rich.
I'm Brian.
Scott.
Hey, what's up? I'm Scott, too. The other one.
That's Rock.
Damn, Matt.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Now he's going to have to put a compressor on
it. Probably pulls it down already.
I'm pumped, man. You guys got a big show coming up. This is the big reunion show over at Del Mar Hall, September 23rd. Get those tickets today. Yeah.
You know, a couple people had mentioned that they were having trouble getting them. They thought it was sold out or something.
Yeah, somebody texted me today.
It's not. Yeah. Go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them.
It's go to the box office. Even if the internet doesn't work, just walk up to the window.
The internets are done for today.
Walk your ass down there and get one.
So how old were you when we were a band? Because I feel like you were younger.
Were you in grade school?
Yeah, well, let's see. I don't know. I mean, I graduated 03.
So 10 years younger, basically.
Yeah, something like that.
11 and 12 for some of us. We're all getting a little older, aren't we, buddy?
What?
No, that's funny. Right. So you're 10 years younger than us.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, who's running this podcast? Him or you? Just shut up for a little bit.
I was just asking. Yeah. I'm curious.
That's a lot of how this works. I mean... Usually we get about a minute or two in, and then derails into
utter chaos, and then it's
yeah.
All right, time for a song.
Yeah, right. But this is cool. I mean, like, how long has it been since you guys played a show?
Since we booked this way.
For Rich, Scott, and myself, it's been 10 years. For the five of us.
It's been 13 years. Kind of disbanded as this original core, right, in 04. I think you might have left in the beginning of 05, mm-hmm, very early 05. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you were right after, because we had become Modern Day Zero from Mesh STL,
right,
in 04. And Matt was still in the band at that time and then had decided to leave shortly thereafter. I think it was still in 04 when...
Probably fall of 04, something like that.
It sounds about right.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
For sure. Yeah, this is a night. I know, like, this is something, like, for me, like the closest I had to, like, a real Modern Day Zero show for a while was, like, I saw Scotty play at, like, Clear Day Live Acoustic one time.
Yeah,
like,
Ink Spot or something like
well,
that.
Well, I think one in particular, I remember you did Clear Day at Shamrocks. One time up there, and then Beetle Bob was up dancing.
Yeah. Were you there that night? I think you were there that night, too.
Shamrocks, yeah.
And then we did the one at Ballyhoo. We did, like, from the Tom and Jeff podcast. Yeah.
That was just a few years ago when you guys did that.
I remember
that.
You talking about.
It was, like, 2012, probably, mm-hmm, something like that. At Ballyhoo.
Well, I was kind of holding on to that for a while. Like, that was all I had.
To get you through, right?
But this is... when this announcement came out, I was like, man, this is going to be cool, because I'm especially after just seeing, you know, a couple months back, Stir had a big reunion show over there, and that was really well, and
yeah, so I was excited about that one.
I
never thought that would happen, to be honest.
Right.
I never thought that show was ever possible. But it was pretty cool that they were able to get together and do that.
Definitely, yeah. And then so now we got a Modern Day Zero reunion, and then they just announced a King of the Hill reunion.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other night. Yeah.
So all kinds of bands are getting back together.
Laying here, feeling nostalgic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it was when we first started kind of throwing it around. I don't think we ever once thought we were going to do it as a Mesh STL reunion show. Because Mesh STL became Modern Day Zero, mm-hmm, so I mean, that's, but it had to be the original five.
Because that was a horrible name.
It absolutely was horrible.
It was thrust upon us. We didn't want it.
It was. It was terrible.
Yeah, we had to.
I still remember the fight on the bus, and how upset we were that had to happen. We had just shot a video that had mesh on it. It didn't even have... Yes, it just made no sense whatsoever.
Not to mention, we had just played a show with the Misfits. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, and then we got the call that,
Good thing we're not on camera,
Have you named it? Have you named that thing yet?
Yeah, right? So, yeah, it was the Misfits over at House of Blues.
House of Blues in Chicago.
Damn, you remember that show? How bad that was?
Of course I do.
Nobody fired our booking agent shortly thereafter.
Yeah, nobody cheered for us. They hadn't wanted nothing to do with us.
Yeah, they did. They cheered on our last song.
Yeah, the last song. Yeah.
So here's something you guys can cheer about. This is our last song.
The whole place erupted.
A couple kids, angry at their parents, flipping us off, wearing all the goth metal. It was great, man.
Skulls on stage.
It was pretty neat. Didn't we have a flat tire that night, too, in the basement of House of Blues?
Oh. Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yes, we did. We called management and told them we weren't going to do show two with those guys.
Yeah, that's right. We were supposed to play again, weren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would have been a real fucking great time.
Then we also had to figure out what we were going to change our name to same night.
So was that another mesh? Is that what the case was? Or?
Yeah. In the UK.
Yeah.
Like an EDM outfit or something along those lines.
I still think they're putting records out, too.
Yeah, I think so.
And what was weird is we kind of really held the copyright here in the States. They held it overseas, but when we signed our record deal, in order for them to do the worldwide release, which they did... through Japan and all that, we had to add something because we weren't allowed to use that name.
Here's the thing that I've never really even talked about, but as you get older now, and we've all been in different businesses and whatnot, and you think about these guys that ran the record label that we were on, they were also a huge management operation. They managed Puddle of Mud, Limp Bizkit, Stained, Korn. They were involved in managing actors and actresses. But somehow they signed us to a deal but didn't have the foresight to do a trademark search, to do a name search. It's like it makes you go, was that really an accident? Or was it planned to just let's just see if it sticks at the wall. I don't know. It's sort of a weird thing because you're like, how did no one go, we should probably look into seeing if this name's taken before we release it?
Well, we talked about it in one of the meetings. Before we got the deal, we had talked about the name and mentioned the band over there. That's what was, irritating when it went down.
It was assumed we were in the clear because they were British trademark, we were U.S. trademark, and nobody connected the dots until we already had, 25,000 CDs printed or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing I could really even say to that was it moved pretty quick. Like when we got our deal, it was 2 weeks. We were in LA. A month later, we were shooting a video and doing all. I mean, all that stuff happened so quick that maybe it just kind of slipped.
Those guys,
but it shouldn't have. I mean, it was a big firm. I mean, it shouldn't have slipped through the cracks.
They were new as a record label, though. Yeah. I mean, they probably didn't have their due diligence checklist together for record signings versus just signing individual artists or bands that were already established somehow.
In my mind, looking back on that, that was like the worst thing that could have happened to us at the time.
And absolutely.
I think it doomed the entire thing from the get-go, and we couldn't wait to change it. Like when we finally did, when we kind of cleaned house and did what we did, it was time to switch. We had to get rid of that name. That name was just it was a curse, man. Right. It was just, we were called Messed STH, and we had people radio stations announce the wrong band name on stage because it was so confusing. It was just like.
My favorite's Meshtal.
Meshtal.
Meshtal, yeah.
Meshtal. Yeah.
Mesh STH. Mesh. No. Messed STL.
Yeah.
Because there's a punk band called Messed.
Which we did play a show with once down in Springfield.
Messed. Right.
Remember that?
Oh my God.
It was Mesh STL and Messed. That was fun.
And Meshuga and everybody else.
Right.
Oh my God.
Good times. Common word there. Mess.
Yeah. One S.
Yeah. You, so what was the initial thought, I mean, or like who put it out there, like, we need to, let's make this happen, let's get the band back together and do this show.
Probably me.
I was going to say, Scotty seemed to call me like at least once a year. Hey, we going to do it this year?
No, I don't think so.
No, not going to happen this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess it was me, yeah, because I was kind of reaching out to everybody, you know, just dealing with some stuff at home myself. And, you know, I have a 10-year-old daughter that's never even seen it before, you know.
Right.
When it gets right down to it, I mean, my mom battles with Huntington's disease. And that was one of the things I know that she would really, you know, enjoy seeing us play, you know, while she could still get out and get around and deal with all that. So I thought that that was pretty important to me. And then this show, kind of the way it ended up landing, it's actually the night before her birthday, which is pretty cool. So I'm excited to see that. I mean, none of our parents are getting any younger. So, you know, if any of them can make it out and see it one more time, I think that's pretty cool, you know, because they were all very supportive of us through that entire process.
Yep.
It was hard, you know. I mean, we nothing was handed to us by any means. We worked our ass off for everything we ever got when it came to the labels and you know, just writing songs and working as hard as we possibly could. And so, I mean, there was a lot of support from the parents. And
plus, we invaded their house for 2 years.
Oh, straight. My parents!
Yeah, our recording studio was in a building right next to his parents' house, so it was. Whether they liked it or not, there were musicians infested their house for 2 years and raiding their fridge and things, you know.
We were talking about a situation the other day. I was talking about it when my mom brought it up. But we would go over to the house and, like, eat dinner over there. And, like, we go elk hunting, my father and I. And so they'd come over. We'd do, like, elk steaks. And 2 years in a row, Richie gets a steak with the bullet in it. What are the odds? Of finding that shrapnel. Do you remember when he did that? Mm-hmm. 2 years in a row. Like, what are the odds of you getting the steak that had the bullet in it?
Luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
That's just my luck. You
know what I mean? We were talking about that the other night. I thought that was funny.
You're looking at a guy who's him and his wife, you know, both got their cars totaled within a matter of an hour. So, that, stuff like that happens to me.
To me.
Not to anybody else. To me.
Oh, shit. Was this recent?
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah. After he hit the
bullet. Yeah, it's long after the bullet. Oh.
That's too funny. Yeah, no, we used to do, I mean, most of the stuff that we recorded was, you know, at the studio out there at my folks' house. There was a building that we kind of converted to a studio, and Richie did 90% of the production and mixing of everything. And, you know, the first record we were down in, I guess, Memphis, and then Nashville for a little bit too, and came back and brought stuff here. And just, it was just easier for us to do it here instead of traveling. Because at one point, shit, I think we lived in Nashville for a month or two. Memphis, I know we lived in Memphis for a month or two. And
yeah, we stayed with my mom in Nashville.
That's right. Yeah, we did stay with your mom in Nashville. So, and yeah,
another mom to take care of the band.
Right. Yeah. And but no, I mean, it wasn't easy. No question. No question at all.
What was the height of all that? Like, I mean, when obviously Sick Inside blew up pretty big, and like, I mean, what?
I mean, actually. The height to me, I don't even know if it was Sick Inside. I think it was, we were on the road, we did the Puddle of Mud tour, the MTV2 video with Maybe Tomorrow, and I think it went to 18 on the Billboard charts. Was it 18 on mainstream rock for radio?
You see, you won't be frightened. Turn your head to rage, but time is not a virtue that you gave me. And I won't say it's safe, but I'm in dire need. I'm down on my knees, yeah. Who wants the love, who wants the hate? We just need it, cause the world will never change. Tomorrow, not today, but maybe tomorrow. virtue that I gave you. And I won't say it's safe, but I'm in dire need. I'm begging you, please. Who wants to love? Who wants to hate? We just need it, cause the world will never change.
That was airplay. That wasn't sales. It was airplay.
Well, I think it's just a testament to the work that we put into it.
Right.
I think there is a common misconception that Modern Day Zero was a major label band, but we never were.
Sure.
Because we just...
Yeah, it was
just
our own independent label.
Yeah, it's the way we handled ourselves and just, you know, that sort of thing. To me, it's the sick inside really...
To the outside, though, if you weren't, I mean, we did the Puddle of Mud tour, stuff like that, but if you add, you know, Alice in Chains, Velvet Revolver,
those
type of tours that we were Breaking Benjamin, you know, those type of tours, Tantric, I guess that was still Mesh, though, that was the Rome tour. But yeah, we found a buddy of ours, and we met him at a bar, actually, where we would play covers when we were home, but, you know, Ron Sander came in and pretty much helped us launch the independent label and get the Modern Day Zero record done, mm-hmm. to be able to, release it and kind of get some things going. I mean, he was a godsend. Without him, I don't know where we would be without him.
Yeah.
I don't know what would have happened. That was definitely something that kept us alive. And, yeah. You know, he believed in us enough to invest and keep it alive and help us pay for some recording time and the things we needed to get done. Hell, even a van at the time, because we had lost all that stuff, you know. Yeah. I mean, that was all gone.
Right.
And
probably local radio helped, you know, the MDZ thing springboard off the Mesh STL record. I mean, we had some national recognition, and the Point and Casey both for years were willing to play local stuff and really got behind. I mean, I know Sick Inside and that stuff, and then the stuff on the way, too. I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get that anymore in most markets where you have a local station that even has time for, you know, whether it's a national act from your town or whether it's just a local band, but they really, as I say, you have to give kudos to those guys a lot.
Oh, yeah,
we're lucky to still be in a town that has an actual program director.
Yeah,
right. That isn't programmed from some centralized location.
No, that's mm-hmm. true. That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think you know, around that time, like, the Point was still doing those Point Essentials and all those kind of collections and other things. I feel like all that kind of stuff, like, you know, since disappeared, but like all that, those collections and different things like that with all the local music, like, really helped shine a light on everything going on at the time. I mean, there was a lot of great music at the then, and it still is now today, and like, but you know, I feel like those different things like that, like, really helped out a lot.
Yeah, 15 years ago, that was the thing, man. Right. Even 20 years ago, I guess now.
Well, the,
get on the point.
The compilation thing was the start of a lot of, like, John Mayer and who else on the Aware?
Train on the Aware.
Mm-hmm. There was a label called Aware out of Chicago, and they would do compilations, and some bands started taking off of their compilations, and moving on to major labels and big tours and things of that nature.
Stir.
Yes. Yeah, Stir was one of them. Yeah. And then we were a part of a few different ones. And then in the radio side of things, they would have these compilations that were these promotional releases that they would send to radio stations to hopefully get the singles picked up and things of that nature. And I think it sort of naturally progressed into radio stations, you know, some radio stations doing like local original band compilations, and it was cool. It was definitely pretty cool for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the Point Essentials was definitely key. I mean, even like Gravity Kills and all those bands. Yeah. I mean, isn't that where Gravity Kills kind of started from? Wasn't that Point Essential
or
One?
Something like that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I think Guilty was the one they got a deal off of that from Point Essential One, I believe.
Well, then once the record or the radio station got those things, it was kind of up to them to, you know, they test the different songs and whatever reacted or whatever people called in on. That's how those bands got their first exposure.
Yeah,
you know, they used to actually listen to the fans. I mean, call-ins were a big deal, and whether you got spins or not, you know. So,
yeah, top 5 and 9 or whatever
it was,
could hit that.
Was,
you know, that was wow. You know,
the cage match.
They still do a lot of those, you know. But I don't even really have a pulse on the local scene too much anymore. Not nowhere near what I used to want to be involved in.
I barely have a pulse at all.
a lot's changed as far as, you know, digital music and everything now, and since you guys were you know, really active in it, and but do you have any advice, like, for people that are, you know, out there doing this? And, like, I mean, you guys saying, like, you did a lot of this yourself, a lot of hard work to get to where you got. You know, do you have any of the words of wisdom to pass on?
Stay in school. Go to college. Get a real job.
Learn a trade.
No, man, you just got to have a real passion for it, man. You know? And honestly.
Yeah. Have fun. I mean,
having fun at the end of the day. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. Do drugs. Have as much sex as you can. Videotape it.
This is exactly opposite of what you did 30 seconds
ago. It took a few more minutes for this to go off the rails, but here we go. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Probably Rock still does all that stuff. I mean, you still writes and records songs, not because you're expecting
that. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, and write and record songs.
No,
because you love to do it, because it's fun, true. You know. It's still fun to do.
Yeah, you have to be in it for the right reasons. It has to be, you know, something that you just can't not do, you know. If you're driven to write and record and put out music and perform and play, then you're doing it for the right reasons. If you're doing it just because you want to be cool and, you know, get laid and whatever, well, sure, still do it, but
and good luck. I mean, we wish you well.
You're not going to be as good at it if you do it for those reasons. I mean, because it does take a ton of work.
I mean, that's exactly really the only advice you can give is, like, if you love to do it, do it. If you don't. I mean, don't look at it as the money side of things, because we weren't involved in that scenario. Like, when we started, the internet was just starting. I hate to sound like we're so old, but like Napster and stuff was just out, and I think they gave us a stat, like, when Maybe Tomorrow was released, on, like, how many albums we sold and then how many digital downloads, and it was over 2 million downloads that were stolen from us when Napster was there. Well, that was a big deal to bands that were starting in that time, but, you know, some of them were able to, you know, kind of weed their way through it and succeed, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it was ridiculous how much that affected, I think, where we were at that time.
It's a digital era now. I mean, it used to be driven by, you know, record sales and
iTunes didn't even exist then.
Right. I mean, that wasn't... Now it's about, you know, digital downloads old. And...
Now they count YouTube plays for Billboard charts. Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive if you think about it.
So it's all become... It's no longer just a song. It's a multimedia format, right. You know? Like, you can't just put a... That's why, like, places like SoundCloud or whatever don't have the kind of clout that YouTube has. It's because you don't want to sit there and look at a screen that's doing nothing. Like, you know, people need, you know, they become desensitized a little bit because of the overwhelm, you know, the only overwhelming content on the web. So mm-hmm. it's all become one thing. It has to be the whole thing together. You know, you have to have a cool visual thing to keep people's attention. Otherwise, they just kind of space off, you know? I mean, right.
It's like posts, like Facebook posts and things like that that have a visual, a picture or something like that associated with it, get a ton more likes and hits than just like
even
a paragraph where somebody would actually have to slow down and take the time to read the content or just listen to the content. That the memory span or the, I don't know, the need for immediate
gratification
is just overwhelming. They don't take the time to mm-hmm. actually dig in and listen to something anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's why I would like, you know, before people release the full on video, a lot of times they release a song as a lyric video because they need to have something to visualize with the song because they realize that that's the only way to get people to sit and actually pay attention and listen to it. So, yeah, it's become much more. Involved in terms of
it's reality
keeping
now,
keeping people's attention span. You know, you have to be clever. You have to be better at. You can't just make. I mean, you can, but it's going to help you a lot more if you're savvy at multimedia as well as being good at songwriting.
Right. You know? Well, we tried to do a lot of that even back then, and it was a lot more difficult then than it is now. Like, you know, shoot your own video and things like that. But we actually pulled that off with Sick Inside. You know, we shot that whole video at a warehouse near the airport. And, you know, that was really kind of unheard of at the time. People weren't doing that. I mean, we went and rented a nice camera and the jig arm, and we tried to do everything we possibly could by ourselves to make it happen. Now, shit, every band in the world has, you know, their own video. I mean, because of the, you know, the way the technology has grown so fast.
Yeah, I mean, there's like people doing them on their iPhones and stuff.
Yeah,
because you have that big 4K camera right there on your
and they look room. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Right. It's crazy the quality that they can pull out now.
Sure.
I don't even know what I would. You know, I'd be like an old fart with that stuff now. I'd be like, let's shoot a video, man. How's this work? iMovie. You know.
You mentioned Facebook, and I noticed there was a post on your guys' official Facebook page about 6 years ago saying some perhaps a new single coming. Is that still the case? Is there still any more new?
No. That was, you know what that was when we were working on Make a Move.
Make a Move, yeah.
Yeah, it was just Rock, myself, and Richie. I don't think we're there.
You know what? Never say never.
Right?
Nobody thought we'd be sitting here talking to you. Right? So never say never, but, you know, nothing's been in the works. You know?
Right now it's kind of woodshedding, trying to remember all these songs, figure out what we're going to play, and just have fun. I think, for me, like, getting together for this, like, the past week has been a major release for me because I'm not near as involved in the scene or music as much as, like, Matt and Rock or even Brian at this point. I mean, we used to do a lot of, like, cover bands and stuff on the side, too, but we just don't anymore. These guys play a lot more and do a tribute thing, and they do a lot of original stuff, and we just don't. So, to me, this is a huge... you know, outlet for me. I mean, it feels amazing to me, and it's a totally different vibe than it was. We were under a lot of pressure when we were doing like 04, 05, and then even carrying into when we finally quit in 07. Like, we were always striving for something, and I don't know if we ever really knew what the hell we were striving for at that point. You know, it was like we just kind of kept going and trucking, and this here just seems more relaxed. Definitely. You know, I love being with the guys and seeing them and laughing and like everything's not so fucking serious, you know. Like it was always a big fucking deal when we were younger. Like don't fuck up. Don't you know what? We're gonna fuck up. We're gonna have fun and it's gonna sound all right. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna look at each other. We're gonna laugh. We're gonna cry. We're gonna fucking get drunk and we're gonna have. You know, it's gonna be what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
man. I'm not gonna cry or anything. But, you know what I'm saying?
I still try to fuck up.
I mean, the emotions are there, man. It's just it feels good. I just you know it feels awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, when I walked up, you guys were playing, you know, live. I heard you from the basement and stuff, and I mean, it got excited because like I was like, you know, haven't heard these songs in a while, so like it felt good just to you know listening even through the. Through the wall out from the basement.
What did they say to you downstairs? I said, you literally got to see us shake the dust off of the way out when we were trying to run through that. He was like, we were literally shaking it off in front of you.
Yeah. But, it sounds incredible, and I'm excited to see you guys up on the big stage over there at Del Mar Hall. That's going to be a fun night. Again, tickets available. Grab them before they're gone. We still haven't made an announcement yet, have we, for support?
For support, show? Actually, yeah. Well, one of the support bands will be Cabo.
Oh yeah,
absolutely, because just the tie, the family tie. I mean, it needs to be that way. I mean, I don't think anyone ever doubted that would not happen.
I ran into Brian, the bass player from Cabo.
Pookie.
who I've known since we probably 5-6 years old, actually, but. Yeah, I ran into him at the supermarket, and he was asking about it, and I was like, "Yeah, man, we're talking." He's like, "Man, you need to do that, man." He's like, "I'll tell you what." He goes, "You do it." He goes, "You don't ask Cabo to open up." He goes, "Someone come looking for you."
And Casey's the same way. Like when I told him we were doing, he's like, "Dude, there is no way that I'm not on that show." Like, there's no way. I mean, Casey and I go way back as well. Like he was. Just going into high school, I was friends with his older brother, and you know, and he claims I taught him how to play guitar, which is impossible because I don't know how to play guitar. So I think I taught him like 3 or 4 chords, and what impressed me is like I taught him those 3 or 4 chords, and like 2 weeks later he had written like 3 or 4 songs, and I just think Casey's a super talented lyricist. Nice. Yeah, like I mean, he just lays stuff out on paper that I could never even dream of getting out. You know what I mean? And he just got an incredible talent. It's cool that he wants to still be a part of this show, and I think there'd be no other. We're still going to add another band. We're just not sure what yet. But I don't know when this comes out, but we're going to announce tomorrow that Cabo was going to do it. So
their latest record, Bridges, is incredible. It's a fantastic album. So I'm excited. That's going to be a good night. And those guys have become good buddies. Like they did my we did a little live podcast for the 300th episode, and getting to hang out with Chris and Casey, it was a lot of fun. Those
become good buddies. Said I wasn't going to get my guitar back, but one day. One day. No, that was a good episode, though. That was pretty cool.
Like I said, I love those guys. I'm glad to become good friends with them now over the years.
Yeah, we've been around them forever. I mean, I even managed them before, you know, when we got our deal. I basically said to Joe Litvag, who's their manager still, like, you gotta, you know, help this band out, you know, this is it, help them out, you know.
First band I teched for.
After the band stuff, on the road, and that was, you know, what, 08? Yeah, 08?
No, that was 2009.
They got a deal in 9, I think.
Yeah, they did the Daughtry tour in 2010, early 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah, so that's going to be a big night for sure, September 23rd. I'm excited. I think there's a lot of people that are excited, so it's going
to...
Yeah.
We're stoked. I can't wait to see everybody.
For sure. That's the thing. It's going to be like a big family reunion, man. It's gonna be
I can't wait for everybody to see me.
Fuzzies. Taco shop. Oh, shit. Well, cool. No. Yeah, that'll be awesome. I can't wait to see everybody, man. It's going to be... I'm super stoked. It's going to feel like a big relief for me.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, I'm excited too. Like, I think I'm excited to see how it goes, and I'm hoping that it doesn't take another 10 years before we do it again. hopefully, we'll keep it going, make it a more of an annual thing or something. You know,
a little more. Yeah, It'd be fun to do that.
For sure.
Well, once we woodshed through these, we'll just, we won't wait 10 years till it won't be as hard to remember next time. Maybe we can add a couple more, because we're never going to play every song that I think some people may want to hear.
It's if there's impossible. A next time, if we could put in less work,
that would be is that possible?
cool. We're not really doing that much work.
Yeah, but if we could do less.
Just a little less. Just a little less.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this, taking time out.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for coming and doing it.
It's been a lot of fun. So we'll see you all at Del Mar Hall September 23rd.
All right.
Thanks,
Sounds
guys.
Good.
See
thanks,
you guys
Shane.
There.
See you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.